It's time for the truth. Without the spin, without the bias, without the political correctness. Get that every day at dnewman.org. And here's your host, Dan Newman.
Many thanks to our good friend Pete Moss. You just heard his voice there. He's probably one of the leading announcers for radio and television around the nation. Longtime friend, formerly an on-air announcer at the same station I was at. He is now in Chicago and graciously agreed to put his voice at dnewman.org. So, Pete, I know you're listening from time to time, and I want to say thank you. For all of you listening today, I want to say thank you. It's Friday, May the 11th, and this day got started off very good, very early. About 2 o'clock Central this morning, Air Force Two, I guess. Anyway, it's the one that Secretary of States fly on, landed at Andrews Air Force Base, and along with the Secretary of State, Pompeo, were those three men who had been held captive, had been held hostage by North Korea, that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un agreed to release in advance of the summit that's pending between President Trump and the North Korean leader. Kind of a great day to start the day. Great time, great way to start the day. And another victory for President Trump. It depends, of course, on who you talk to. Not so much for members of the leftist media, and we have more to talk about regarding that a little bit later in this broadcast. Today we're going to talk about something that is becoming more and more obvious, and the appearance, the actuality of it, is becoming more and more dangerous to the American people. And I've got some evidence, I've got some hard examples of what I'm talking about. Remember, we don't talk about anything here unless we have evidence. And got some cold, hard evidence. That's just ahead here at dnewman.org. For those of you that are longtime dnewman.org subscribers or our partners, you've heard me talk several times, you've seen me write that I believe and believe very strongly and have for a long time that the driving force of Washington, D.C. is not money. It used to be decades ago, but that's long gone. Now everything is driven by the quest for political power, because with political power, think about it, people in Washington, D.C. have been very successful at insulating themselves from the American people. So with political power, they can pretty much do whatever they want. Remember, the leftist media, we'll talk about them in a little bit too, they're in the pockets of the politicians, the coastal Potomac political elitist in Washington, D.C. That means that whatever happens, whatever the political elite in D.C. do, unless they want it exposed to the American people, they can control the narrative that the American people hear. And so political power gives them everything that they need, especially money and especially influence over other people. Before D.C. politicians could obtain and maintain that power, they had to find ways to denigrate every force that would come against their doing so. And they have dismantled more institutions, more companies. They've destroyed more conservative politicians than you can imagine, than we could ever figure out or know about. Some of those, a lot of those people, a lot of those entities just kind of disappear rather than get in the fight. Remember, they have weaponized, they being the leftists, the coastal Potomac leftist political elite, they have weaponized the justice system. We'll talk about that in a bit too. And that means if they go to war with us, they've got an unlimited budget because they control the Justice Department. You and I pay the tax, not only the tax bill, but we pay the legal fees. We got to pay our own. And with our tax dollars, we're paying theirs too. They've got a lot of tools that they use, like disinformation. That's bad news. You hear stuff all the time that's said that is virtually untrue. It happens now almost every day. News media, leaks and untruths, innuendo, federal investigations, examples, we won't get into them, but Mueller on Michael Flynn and Caputo, who both lost everything based on innuendo and rumors and things that were supposed to be factual that they did wrong, They didn't do anything wrong, as it turns out later, but after they lost everything. Intimidation and fear. In the Obama administration, during that eight-year period, under the watchful eye of the president, this process was almost perfected and almost went unexposed. One of the big tools that they used then was the IRS. Remember, Senator Chuck Schumer said under the Obama administration that the IRS should be used to target and punish groups that disagree with the Democratic Party's political agenda. He stated, quote, "There are many things that can be done administratively by the IRS and other government agencies. We must redouble those efforts immediately." Schumer was also, if you remember, one of a number of Democrat senators who signed a 2012 letter to the IRS demanding they be more aggressive against conservative organizations. We didn't hear anything about that. Why? If that was a Republican senator who had said that, it would be on the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all over CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC. That prompted Lois Lerner, the IRS's former director of tax-exempt organizations, publicly acknowledged the political, predatory, and punitive actions of the agency that led to the harassment and intimidation of conservative groups. When it was finally exposed, anyone who thinks that these IRS bureaucrats were acting solely in response to the senator's letter of their own volition, you're kidding yourselves. It didn't happen for that reason. This strategy was initiated by a cunning Obama White House and the community organizer-in-chief who still understands Saul Alinsky's rule number 10. Do you remember number 10? There are 10 of them. This is his rule number 10. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Who do the Democrats look at as the opposition? Conservatives, of course. The IRS is just one of a dozen of other agencies under the control of the White House, many of which go unnoticed by the public and are virtually ignored by elected officials. But boy, listen closely. They have power. And you never hear about their abusing that power. Government intimidation used for weaponization. There are new revelations, even now, about the Obama administration intimidating banks to prevent them from doing business with a number of legitimate businesses. You may have heard a little bit about this. The until recently covert Operation Choke Point, it was just exposed not long ago. Operation Choke Point was administered through the Eric Holder Department of Justice and Treasury. It made a major impact on the financial industry and other legitimate businesses the Obama administration was quietly targeting, apparently simply because those businesses were aligned with opposite political ideals than the political party in power at the time, Democrats, coastal, Potomac, leftist elites. According to the Wall Street Journal, J.P. Morgan, the big investment bank, was forced to cut ties with thousands of their customers. Why? Sources indicated that out of fear of government scrutiny, the bank ended relationships with customers, even if there weren't any signs that that customer had done anything wrong. Other major banks stopped offering certain popular legal products or services because of government pressure. Government intimidation, weaponization. Documents inadvertently leaked by the Department of the Treasury from a briefing on Operation Choke Point showed that the administration was looking to significantly impact legal businesses because it believed the public needed to be protected from industries and customers deemed more likely to engage in criminal activity. Criminal activity. According to the administration, those industries interestingly included, listen to this, ammunition sales, gun sales, home-based charities, gambling, pharmaceutical sales, short-term loans, raffles, Amway and Mary Kay-style sales businesses, and credit repair services. The Obama administration refused to answer any congressional inquiries about Operation Choke Point. Wonder why? Kind of like Fast and Furious. You remember that? Eric Holder He wouldn't tell Congress anything. Whatever happened to the Obama administration's promises of a totally transparent administration? And then you remember this one? We heard a little bit about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They called it short the CPFB. It was once headed by Elizabeth Warren. It also became a key cog in the Obama administration's effort to regulate industries and personal decision-making. It rapidly became, next to the Justice Department, the Obama's agency of choice for extending the reach of government into our daily lives and stretching the limits of the law. Unfortunately for Americans, this little-known agency was housed as part of the Federal Reserve, so it exists outside the direct purview of Congress. How convenient for the president, or former president. As the Washington Examiner's Richard Pollack reported, quote, they assumed all businesses are predatory, which allegedly gives them the ability to collect up to 96 separate data points from more than 1 billion credit cards. 1 billion, that's right. Your government was keeping tabs on how you spend your money. Congress asked the CFPB questions about the consumer snooping program and got virtually nothing in response. That's not very surprising. The head of CFPB at the time, Richard Cordray, did, however, inform members of Congress that Americans cannot opt out or prevent this personal data collection. Now, he's an appointed bureau head. He wasn't an elected official. He's not a member of Congress. He doesn't make laws. But he said Americans cannot opt out or prevent this personal data collection. Who's going to protect us from the CFPB? Enter Donald Trump. Early in his administration, he had his Secretary of the Treasury remove the replacement for Obama-appointed head of the agency, Cordray, and assign Treasury Secretary Mnuchin to move the agency under the direct control of his office at the U.S. Treasury to simply stop the executive weaponization of the CFPB. And then, of course, there's the very obvious, mentioned it early on in this broadcast, weaponized news. Do we even need to discuss how this national media today has made itself an armed agent of the coastal Potomac political elite? It began during the Obama administration. It just escalates daily. It's still getting stronger and stronger and more obvious, louder, more visible. Once honest reporting from those with integrity has virtually vanished from print, broadcast, internet media. It's now safe to say that the mainstream media belongs to the Democrat National Committee, the Democrat Party, and all of the coastal Potomac political elite. The truth doesn't matter at all anymore, folks. It's all about the political narrative of the day and what the leftists determine it should be. They have exposed themselves with impunity, I might add, in all of their reporting, if we could even call it reporting, regarding all things Trump. Their reasoning, they got two big reasons. They have more, but two big ones. They've been ingrained by leftist leaders to hate everything President Trump stands for. It doesn't matter if it's his haircut, his tan, weight, health, his wife, son-in-law, daughters-in-law, cabinet picks, personal assets, the way he walks, talks, and speaks. Everything about this president is in play for the coastal Potomac political elites. And they fight to be the ones to use their bully pulpits to demean this president in every way. And the better he does, the more obvious results for American voters, American citizens, the stronger, the dirtier, the nastier, the more untruthful they get. The other reason? They have been virtually bought and paid for by the left. How? Quote, we'll grant you a seat at the table in Washington, D.C., at which all things regarding the operation of the U.S. government are determined, end quote. That's the story that the leftist media are told by the U.S. government, by the Democrat Party, by the DNC, by Obama in the bunker blocks away from the Capitol. That's the hook the left used to capture the media. Weaponization, it's in full swing. And it's really in full swing in the Justice Department. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a few moments, right here at dnewman.org. Sit tight.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite.
Big Hot Pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details.
Subway, eat fresh.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every new story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of dnewman.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.
And boy, today's story is relevant, isn't it? It has to do with what goes on in our lives every day. And as that is determined by Washington, D.C. Wouldn't it be nice if it was one vote and that vote counts for every American rather than electing people that are supposed to represent us in Washington? They get up there and they fill their own pockets, determine what is best for us, and that determination, of course, really is what they think is best for them. We're talking today about the weaponization of the U.S. government in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately, that weaponization is against American citizens. And it has been for a long time being done very quietly behind the scenes. But as of late, with Donald Trump in the White House, and remember all this stuff that we just talked about, all this weaponization that went underway under the Obama administration would have continued behind the scenes very quietly if Hillary Clinton had won the election in November of 2016, because she was in the camp. She was part of this process. She put it all together. And we would have never heard about it, or if we did hear about it, it would have all been poo-pawed by who? The coastal Potomac politically elite leftist media. And of course, all of the Democrat Party pundits. Nevertheless, God intervened, I do believe, and Donald Trump is president of the United States, and the truth will out. Thanks for that saying from William Shakespeare. The truth is outing as all of this is being exposed. We talked about the IRS and everything that they did, Lois Lerner stuff, attacking not-for-profits that were conservative not-for-profit entities, and actually destroyed several of those. What about political favors? How often do you think it goes on as quid pro quo in Washington, D.C.? Think about this. I've told you. I had a freshman congressman, after going to Washington and spending about a month there, come back shaking his head in a conversation and told me there's only 35 or 40 true conservatives in the House of Representatives. And when I got into the discussion of what was going on and why and how and what was the effort aimed at, it was simply to maintain power and control. It didn't matter if it was Republican or Democrat. The Republicans, who now control the House and the Senate and the White House, supposedly control Congress, as we have seen, a lot of Republicans are voting with the Democrats or obstructing along with the Democrats. The reason for that is they want all of the status quo, as much of the stuff that's going on, to stay the same, because they know at some point the actual, or at least the perceptual, control of Congress is going to flip. The Democrats are going to control the House or the Senate or both, and the Republicans want to maintain their power and control and status and money. So they don't want to make a lot of waves. That's what drives this weaponization in Washington, D.C. And who pays the price? You and I do. Our tax dollars are used. They're virtually confiscated from us. They're stolen. They're abused. And everybody that is anybody who is an elite gets taken care of first. Their issues get taken care of first. Their concerns and who they owe and are obligated to get taken care of first. The American people come second. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of one member of Congress that ever showed up on the first day after their election, when they took their oath of office, that wasn't better off financially when they left office, or those that are still in office years later down the road? They're all millionaires. How did they make all that money? Where did it come from? It came from quid pro quo. I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. A couple of $1 trillion, folks, turned up missing at the Pentagon last year or the year before. A couple of $1 trillion. We're not talking about $100 or $1,000 or $100,000 or $1 million. We're talking about big, big money disappears. Where do you think it went? Why has there not been some major effort to discover where it is? Who was responsible for its disappearance? It came out of a bank account somewhere, and that's just one example. $430 billion of government waste exposed by a congressman from Oklahoma last year. $430 billion, that was what was discovered, documented, and exposed. What could you do with your piece of $430 billion. And every one of those dollars went for some cause, some pork project, some payback, some quid pro quo that Congress, somebody or somebodies in Congress, were obligated to take care of. We're going to finish today's program talking about the one that is probably most in our face on a daily basis, and that's the weaponization of the Justice Department. It may have existed before. It may have even existed under Bush 41, 43, Clinton. Who knows? It obviously came front and center in the Obama 8 years. It began with Eric Holder, ended with Loretta Lynch, and they used every way they could come up with to weaponize the Justice Department against not just Americans, but against anybody they could take advantage of. Let me give you an example. We didn't know this until just recently, several months ago. You may have read several times some major international banks had been attacked virtually in court by the Eric Holder Justice Department for wrongdoing, messing around with loans, doing loans the wrong way, taking advantage of depositors or whatever. Deutsche Bank was one of those banks, the first one that got popped really big, for billions, billions of dollars in fines. And, you know, you think, wow, they're taking care of the American consumer. That's a great thing. Certainly, there were things that Deutsche Bank was doing, taking advantage of companies they lent money to, depositors, and individuals that they lent money to. There is no doubt about it. The evidence was there. But you know what you didn't hear about? Was the blackmail of Deutsche Bank by the Obama Eric Holder Justice Department. How? Well, they popped them with these major, major fines, as I said, billions of dollars. Deutsche Bank paid the U.S. government billions of dollars. What about those billions of dollars Wouldn't that have been nice to go into the U.S. Treasury? You would have expected that's where it went, paid down debt, kept us from having to borrow those billions of dollars to keep the government running. But that's not what happened to it. That money, as it turns out, and a lot of other money we're going to talk about in just a second, is what was called off-balance sheet. It was deposited in government bank accounts, but it was not included on the revenue side of the federal budget. Now, what that means is it was sitting out there and could be used, and it's being deposited in U.S. Treasury accounts, but not a record in the budget. That meant Congress didn't see it. Any conservative Republican didn't see it under the Obama administration, but it was there. And everybody was excited because we had more money. Nobody asked the questions until late last year. What was that money used for? You know what it was used for? They never collected the whole penalty amount from Deutsche Bank and other companies and other banks that they popped. They would go to those companies, like they went to Deutsche Bank and said, look, you owe us billions of dollars. We're going to give you a compromise. Here's what we'll do. You owe, let's say, $3 billion. We're going to cut it in half. It's only going to be $1.5 billion. That's a great deal. But here's what you got to do. Of that $1.5 billion, pay $1 billion to the U.S. government. But that other $500 million, we want you to pay it to some not-for-profits that we're going to designate. Worthy causes, good opportunities to help a lot of people, and you'll be off the hook. And of course, Deutsche Bank and the other companies that were attacked this way were like, wow, what a great opportunity. We can save a bunch of money for our stockholders. So they were right there and did it. That $500 million was diverted to political entities that aligned with the Obama administration in a lot of different areas. Very liberal organizations, entities that took that money and attacked conservatism and attacked freedom and justice and aligned themselves politically activist with the Obama ideals. Major international corporations with all of the stringent regulations, especially EPA regulations that were put in place under the Obama administration, were popped with all kinds of fines for violations, major penalties, just like Deutsche Bank. And the same process was used again and again to divert a portion of those penalties to political causes, to political groups that favored and supported liberal causes, the causes of the coastal Potomac political elites, led by Barack Obama. And that practice continued in the Justice Department under Lois Lerner. That's just one way the weaponization of the Justice Department occurred. What about the FBI? We are learning more every day about how evil the people at the top of the FBI have been, and apparently some still are. I know several people that are in management way, way, way down the pecking order of those in Washington, D.C. I know some FBI agents, regular folks just like us. They work hard. They are committed to the United States people. They're out there to keep us safe. They took an oath of office, and they're sticking to it. They're abiding by it. They, too, are disheartened by what they're hearing and seeing that is happening at the senior management level on the sixth floor of the J. Edgar Hoover Building in Washington, D.C. Management, people who most of never worked in the FBI. They're lawyers. They're politicals. They're hired away. They don't know anything about the everyday operations of the FBI. They rely on second-level senior management people there that are political junkies that are looking for exactly what the congressional political elites are looking for: power and control that can help them, that can feather their caps and give them benefits. The FBI is in trouble. And because the FBI is in trouble and all of the illegal acts that have been exposed and those that are in the process of being exposed prove just how, under the Obama administration where it began, evil, with one quest and one quest only, power, has taken over Washington, D.C. Sit tight. We're going to wrap this up in 1 minute at dnewman.org.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Back at dnewman.org, this is Dan Newman, and we have been talking about the weaponization of the federal government against the American people. We ended it up by talking about the Justice Department. There's so much going on. The Attorney General's office is pretty much the same. We have watched what current acting Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has done with his appointment of Robert Mueller, who is totally disqualified, all kinds of conflict of interest, but yet he took the role and has assumed the role and maintained the role of special prosecutor against President Donald Trump. Other intelligence agencies, John Brennan, James Clapper, evil people that headed the CIA and the Department of National Intelligence. And it all goes down even to federal marshals, federal judges, and federal courts. We've seen the Obama stack federal courts with very liberal judges that have gone and made rulings counter to the American people, counter to American law. And it's all part of the power and the weaponization to take power and maintain power taken from the American people. This is one of those things that hadn't been fun to talk about, but it's very necessary for the American people to know exactly what's going on. When you watch these newscasts and you hear all of this vitriol spewed toward conservatives in Congress and the conservatives that are on the staff at the White House and, of course, the president, when you see and hear all of that, and instead of now wondering what the heck is going on, the economy is great, nobody's talking about it. The political talking heads don't even want to talk about the fact that last month the federal government brought in more revenue than in history. Think about that. Well, since 2001, think about that. And they did that while cutting taxes for American companies and American people. How is that possible? Everybody knows. Whether they accept it or not as fact, it is fact. John F. Kennedy made the first political tax cut and said the reason he did it was he knew if he cut taxes that the economy would improve, people would start spending more money. Let the people keep more of their own money, the economy will improve, they'll spend more money. That's exactly what happened, and that's exactly what happened last month. They're not talking about that. They're not talking about the good things that are happening in law enforcement. They're not talking about or giving any credit whatsoever for what's going on the international political stage. I still hear people, although the president, President Trump, is the first president to get in front of a North Korean leader in decades, the very first one, and got three hostages released overnight that are Americans. They showed up at Andrews Air Force Base at 2 o'clock in the morning Central Time. There were news people there that covered the story, but all of them, including a lot of conservative news people, are saying, oh, President Trump's got to be careful. They do this all the time. They get nice when they think there's something on the table that might benefit them. They agree to sit down and talk and do all this kind of stuff. And then when it comes time for them to do it, they don't do it. The president better be careful. I've heard President Trump myself say 100 times probably when talking about the summit that's coming up June 12th in Singapore between him and Kim Jong-un. I've heard him say over and over and over again. He sent the message to the North Korean president over and over again. If you don't do away with the nuclear program, if we're not going to be able to eliminate nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula. I and the American people are walking away from this. And if at the summit, that's not on the table or it doesn't go the way it's supposed to go, I'm getting up and walking away. Donald Trump is a businessman, a billionaire. He knows how to cut a deal. He knows how to negotiate. These political hacks on the left and the conservatives. And I'll throw out a couple of names. John McCain, I know he's ill, but he is a business hack. He does not know the first thing about negotiating a deal. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, both of them Republicans. They're best buddies with each other. Lindsey Graham doesn't have a clue. And he actually ran for president last time. There's a bunch of them. And of course, the other Democrats, political elites that are independents, they say, they don't have a clue either, folks. It's really better under Donald Trump. Far better than anybody thought it would be. And believe me, far better than it would have been in a Clinton presidency. I am so glad, for a lot of reasons, that Hillary did not win. Thank God. God bless America. And he did when Donald Trump won that election. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Glad to have you here. We'll be back tomorrow. Comment if you'd like on the homepage or send us an email, dan@dnewman.org. Tell your friends to check out dnewman.org. We've got the link to the audio podcast right up top below the headlines on every story at dnewman.org.